This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. We've got, Corey Majors. And back at the studio, we've got the famous Alec Medford. We are live at Globe Life Field, and it is also CBS 11 Weather Day.
What a day.
Here at Globe Life Field, so there are a ton of kids, and there's going to be a whole bunch of weather happenings behind us.
Man, they all looked so confused this morning whenever they were trying to get into the stadium because nobody knew where to go in. And so I was sitting there at the media entrance just kind of waiting, and then all of a sudden I was like, okay, I'm going to go in now. And everybody looked like, oh, we can go in here? And I was like, nah, you're not media, suckers. And then I slammed the door in their face and came inside.
Wow, take that, little kids in the ballpark.
Well, it was their parents that I was taking that shot at, though.
I did just get a text from somebody. They said, hey, my company is taking us to the game today.
Nice.
So they're going to come on
Odyssey.
And swing
yeah,
by.
Yeah, it's Odyssey Day out here.
Yeah.
My company is taking us to the game.
That is true. Hopefully all the Odyssey people will come by.
And get a burger upstairs.
Yeah, and say hello to us. All right, we're going to have a busy day today. We got Jared Sandler coming up at 12 o'clock. We're going to talk about the person who fell out of the stands.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
And I just didn't believe that video when I first saw it. We'll talk about that in a little bit and obviously get you ready for Stars-Avs Game 6 tonight. But unfortunately, I think we're going to start with the Rangers. And so I would ask for a positive highlight, but you saw the game. So I'm going to go ahead and say, give me cut two.
Butler swings and sends one high into the air, deep left center field. Leote going back. He's onto the track. This one is just over the wall and into the A's bullpen. An opposite field grand slam for Lawrence Butler. And now it's a 7-1 lead for the Athletics.
That would be the final, as well as the saddest part of all of this is the golden chicket was once again deactivated after only one free game. Very disappointed about the way that played out. But this game was infuriating. Yeah. Even before the grand slam and before it felt like it really got out of hand, you go back to some of those early chances for the Rangers. First six innings. 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. They left 9 men stranded. And so, like, I know you went from 3-1 to 7-1, but this game early on, it was there for the taking, and Eovaldi obviously pitched very well.
Oh, man, Eovaldi was fantastic last night. And it's almost, at a point now where you're just like, I expect him to be, you know, glorious when he goes out on the mound. You kind of just expect that. And you have this embarrassment of riches at starting pitching right now. And whenever you're having that many times you're leaving runners on base, you're actually getting the hits. You're actually doing the things that you talked about that you wanted to do better. Actually, Kevin, last night I saw more guys going opposite field, even attempting to go opposite field. Some of those pop-ups kind of landed that way as well. It was nice to see them doing that, but then whenever it became the bigger moments, they're like, all right, now I'm clearing these bases with a bomb. And they couldn't get the guys across the plate. And that is, last night, if you watch again, they did what Bochy said they had been doing in the past, and that is expanding the strike zone, making it too big for themselves, and not squeezing the pitcher to force better pitches for themselves to get better pitches to drive. And that was the problem for them last night. And then late in the game, I'm not exactly sure where you are on Luke Jackson right now, Kevin.
So this is tricky, and we've talked about this before with relievers, how quickly it can get out of hand, right? But if you look at most of the season, I've been good with him. Like, obviously,
yes,
the first game was frustrating.
Yep.
And the last week has been uber frustrating because you can directly point to two games that you're like, hey, we either lost any ability to win this game because of you. In between, it's been really impressive. But I know that's not how it works. I can't just tell you, hey, except for these three bad games, he's been really good. Because if you go back to the season opener, if you go back to the game a week ago, yeah, I think it's exactly a week ago, against the A's where he blew the save, and then the game last night, and you look at those three games, and you're 16-15, even though you've gotten, like, easily the best starting pitching to start a Rangers season ever,
mm-hmm.
and you wonder about those three games. I wonder about those three games if it was Yates. Would you, even though we hit a bomb off of Yates earlier this year, I wonder if you could have gotten win, win, win. Then all of a sudden, if you were 19-12, the bats are still struggling, but your pitching is lights out, and you're 19-12, and you're like, I feel pretty good about this. Instead, you continue to wonder if the bats will come around or if the day before was just an anomaly. And you wonder, I wonder, how the hell is this team at about .500 with the phenomenal starting pitching that they've got?
Oh, man, you're dead on. That's the question that's got to be plaguing Bruce Bochy right now, too. And Chris Young is, this doesn't make any sense. When you have this kind of pitching, it's not supposed to go in reverse with your hitting the way that it is. But I guess, Kevin, it's not necessarily reverse because they weren't that great last year either. But you thought something was going to change in the offseason, and something felt like it was on its way. Now, you look at the way the lineup's constructed. We did hear Jared this morning. He was saying that Corey Seager is really working to try and get back. And he said he's a competitive dude. He sees them struggling, and he wants to be out there.
Can I pause that for 1 second?
Mm-hmm.
I don't dispute any of that. I just don't want us to have this weird idea that the offense was
just
good when
fixed.
He was there.
Right.
Yeah, like, he was there and the offense wasn't good.
And that was the thing that he added. He was like, the one thing that we can say is we haven't seen Wyatt Langford, one of the best hitters in the lineup, and Corey Seager, one of the best hitters in the lineup, in the same lineup enough this year. Like, that's been the thing that's been missing a lot this season.
That's fair.
And so if Wyatt's getting on as frequently as he does, and you're hoping that that's going to be a thing. Last night, not a good night for Wyatt Langford. That was definitely that 0-for-5, not necessarily the one you wanted to see, but that is the hope, is that at some point that happens. And I don't know what's going to liven these guys up. It does feel like discipline is the real key here when it comes to not swinging outside of the zone.
Yes.
And the discipline part, I don't know how to get these guys to go from their Boach doesn't have, it's a very, like, you know your job, you're a professional, go do it, I trust you. And there doesn't seem to be like a, hey, we're going to just crank down on you kind of thing.
He said yesterday, one of the things he said yesterday is he talked about, like, potentially shortening up the swings a bit to make sure you can have more of a productive at bat in certain situations. Obviously, I know that doesn't work.
That's driving the ball opposite field. That's doing things that you're not trying to hit home runs, because, again, Kevin, you can't hit a 600 home run.
Yes. And, man, we haven't hit any home runs for a while. I was thinking about that because we go back to our show yesterday. We're all buzzing about Tuesday night and the fact that the Rangers scored so many runs without hitting a home run. And then I saw this, I believe it was from Kennedy Landry. You go back a week in the game in Sacramento. The Rangers hit 3 solo home runs in the 4th inning. They have not hit a home run since. So that's a span of 6 games. The longest homerless drought since the team had one in July of 2021.
Jeez.
So it's been almost 4 years since you've gone this long without having a home run. And now it would be a different thing if, like, last night they lost 7-5.
Right.
And, you know, maybe the day before they had won.
You're dead on.
The day before the 15 runs, they would have scored 6-4. And you're like, don't care. The offense is clicking. We're getting doubles galore. We're all this and that.
Instead, but they're still anemic.
Exactly. And so you got to give me something. Like, if the offense isn't working, then hell yeah, I'll take a plethora of solo home runs, because that's the best we can do. And I did see somebody bring this up earlier, and we might revisit this with Bochy. I just remember what we talked about with him last year. How come the team doesn't bunt to move people along more? I feel like, and you can correct me if you think I'm off base on this, He talked about last year, Bochy, that is, how maybe they just did not have the lineup that was particularly suited for that. And I don't imagine that adding Jake Berger and Jock Peterson, not necessarily world-renowned bunters, is something that would have changed that.
Yeah, one of the things I remember from that conversation is there's five ways to get a guy over to the next base. Five ways to get him to third. And that was another conversation, too, about moving a runner from second to third with a bunt. And then, yes, as you were saying, the idea of, well, our team is built on the idea that they're going to hit home runs. They're going to drive doubles. That's what they're – wow, did you hear that, Kevin?
I did hear it. Now, luckily, there's a TV in front of me, too.
So you saw it all
where
happening?
They're running the weather experiments. Gotcha. But, yeah, if you're listening and Corey's in the middle of a point and you hear a – it's weather day here.
Yeah. The concept of the way the team's built, the mentality that they go into every at bat with is all of you guys can hit home runs. Go ahead and try and swing for the fences. And that's continued to be an idea, a concept of get your best swing off.
Yeah.
Every time you swing,
yeah,
get your best swing off. That's going to continue to roll that way too. So you kind of expect that's what Bochy is thinking of this team. He's not trying to give a Corey Seager a bunt sign. He's not trying to give a Jake Berger a bunt because he believes that they do have the slugging power in them. However, if you've gotten this result over and over and over, you do have to go change. And that's what I know he kind of tried to play off the hitters meeting a little yesterday. I think there was more to that meeting about the philosophy on what they do when they step to the plate.
And actually, man, we didn't get a chance to push it. I think he kind of rope-a-doped that question because I was talking about the Tuesday mandatory meeting, and he's like, oh, yeah, no, the hitters had a meeting on Monday. A
couple days ago,
and I was like, no. somebody brought this up from the 214. Yeah, I definitely regretted not circling back on that and being like, no. Tuesday. Tavares did bunt someone over last night. Okay, I don't want to make it sound like the Rangers have never completed a bunt, sacrifice, or otherwise. It's just not been a strength of this team.
Yeah, and it just can't be Tavares every time.
Yes.
Like that's,
yes.
You know, and again, hey, I often think, Kevin, a bunt for a power hitter is like a three-point shooter going to the free throw line.
Okay.
You know, you got to get something to get things going. You got to see the bat hit the ball. You got to get that feeling just a little bit of, I'm actually watching it. And a lot of these times, man, I know Adolis is frustrating some people. I see some swings that I'm like, dude, was his head even on that ball?
Yeah.
It was out in left field. It was in the pole. And sometimes I'm a little frustrated by that. And again, I go back to the discipline part of it is the key, and I don't know how they're going to get that back. But I will say this. We talk about the pitching and talk about what Eovaldi did and talk about what DeGrom did the day before. You do have some pitchers in this on this roster who understand that, and they're not going to go in there and throw their glove into their locker and start screaming about how there's no run support. They're going to go, well, did I put up a zero today? That's how they look at it. And if I didn't do that, then I didn't do good enough, and I could probably do better. I need more. They want to do that. They want to be that guy that's giving the team every possible chance when they're on the hill.
Now, I do want to throw out some props to Evan Grant because I thought his response on this was kind of hilarious. Sometimes people, they mistype what they want to say. And people were jawing about the hitting coach. Look, we've already seen that this morning on the Fantext, 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel, injury attorney, text line. You can also hit us up on the Twitch and the YouTube. Somebody said you need to bring back the hitting coach like Judy Jaramillo.
Rudy.
Now, I assume they meant Rudy, but Evan Grant responded, is that Rudy's sister? And I love the idea that there's this universe where he has an equally established sister as a hitting coach, and that's who we brought in. I'm sure that infuriated the person who tweeted that, but I thought it was funny.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. When I was in high school, Sunset High School, his son went there. And Rudy helped them out a little bit. He helped them, and that team crushed. All right, I remember like they hit the ball hard. So yeah, I think he's kind of good at what he's doing right now. He's kind of happy there, but yeah, something they got to find something that can change and bring back some life to these sticks.
And I just wanted to go back to the pitching staff because it's amazing to me. So Eovaldi, as you said, top-notch tonight. By the way, I'm going to thank Jared Sandler because I went higher than 5.5 strikeouts on Eovaldi last night because he goes, hey, you know what the A's can't hit? The splitter. You know what Nathan Eovaldi likes to throw? And I was like,
Was this during the pregame
yeah,
show?
Yes.
You're like,
yeah, and so he ended up having 8 strikeouts.
So Jared indirectly gave you
absolutely
advice on
that might not have been his goal, but that was 100% what
hey,
I did with
the
that.
Pre- and post-game show, the hot spot
yes,
for advice
absolutely
on your plays.
And so with that, the Rangers' rotation, their ERA is 2.99.
Okay.
Their whip is 1.1. That is the best March-April rotation ERA since 1983, and the third best in the history of the club. The whip, that's the best start ever for the Texas Rangers. And you are one game above 500. That is the part that is so infuriating about this. And I know Boach talked about it yesterday. He's like, oh my God, that pitching staff, credit to them. They've been amazing.
Sure.
And I feel like the rest of this sentence wanted to be, why the hell are we not clearly in first place, maybe by 4 games? I don't effing know. But he's a professional. So he didn't say that.
No, that is Boach from the 254. Kevin, Corey, hear me out. Boach needs to throw a bunch of bats into the shower, full OG players, and give them the lollygagging speech.
It looked like maybe he changed it up with the shaven look.
Uh-huh. And dude, I'm telling you, that guy every week, every series, it seems like his facial hair changes just a little bit. It's a good approach, man. You go in there and you're like, it didn't work today. Sometimes that's what you do. You go up to the plate and you're like, I wasn't good today. Tomorrow I'm shaving. I'm going to get rid of the beard for this series. We'll see how that goes.
Would it get drastic enough to just shave off the entirety of the mustache and then we go on a run?
For like Jake Berger?
Or anybody.
Yeah.
Hell, anybody in this lineup. Maybe not Josh Smith and Wye Langford. They're doing just fine.
Hey, man, you've seen that. Tin cup.
Yeah.
You know, take all the tees out of one pocket, put them in the other pocket. Do something just to kind of give yourself a mental reset.
We're the KNC Masterpiece, live from the Weather Zone at Globe Life Field in Arlington on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, can the Stars keep up this level of physicality in Game 6 tonight and beyond? Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
Driving the net, Rantanen, he's got it!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm going to tell you one thing. We're live at Globe Life Field. If nothing else, you should come out so Corey can show you the snarky and clever things he pulls up on his computer.
Hey, Facebook is undefeated, man. It just keeps rolling out stuff for me.
To try to throw people just like me off. All right, so we talked about the Rangers in the opening segment. Obviously, very disappointing yesterday. Hopefully, they'll get back at it today. Well, they will get back at it today at 1:35, and hopefully the offense decides to show up. But the Stars and the Avs, Game 6 tonight, you have the opportunity to close out the series, advance to the second round, or the opportunity for us to be sad tomorrow and have your Saturday night plans change.
Yeah, your Saturday night plans definitely will change if that's the case. Because, yeah, Game 7 would be the most significant thing on your day. Like, that would be everything that you need to sit around and be ready for. This is one of those, Kevin, where this could be a turning point for the Stars' whole, like, run to the Cup. Because early in the series, the first game, you were just like, this team, they fell apart. They ended their season miserably. They are not good anymore. This is the worst. And then they come back, and you're like, okay. And then they lose again. And so, like, you're kind of going through this emotional ride here. But, again, if they can do this without Robertson and Miro, which it appears like they're probably going to play this one without Miro again.
Yep.
If they can do that, again, other teams in the West are looking at that going, when they get those guys back, how do we beat them? I know some people think, and I think Dawson said this the other day, look, if Miro was to come back, it does kind of throw things off for a little bit. I'm not quite certain that that's the case with Miro. They all understand how he plays and what they're doing, and I think they're not going to let him back on the ice until he is ready, especially since they feel like they have control of this battle right now, this series.
Now, Corey, we once had a newspaper editor that said you can learn everything about a game from just looking at the box score.
Mm-hmm.
That was a real thing that they really said.
And I think that person also said that some say the Stars only need to win one more game.
Oh, we need to win 13 more games.
No,
I got what
you're
saying.
For the series.
Oh, okay.
Some say that.
Yes. But, yeah, so we had a newspaper editor who said that. Well, if you looked at Game 5, then you think that the Stars were chumped out physically all night long. So I'm going to go to Pete DeBoer, cut number 6, because I don't think either one of us saw it that way in terms of the Stars' physicality in Game 5.
We were much more competitive physically last night than we were in Game 4. So that's a big part of our game, and you know, particularly defensively. And, you know, I think I thought everyone, as a, you know, the entire group was more competitive in that area. You know, the penalties that we did took were defending, which I don't mind. You know what? If you're battling in front of our net to help save a goal, no problem. It's the ones that are 200 feet from our net on the forecheck or in the neutral zone that we've got to avoid.
Now, if you looked at just the box score and just the hits,
you didn't see it.
Yeah, you'd be like, the hell is he talking about? You were way more physical in Game 4. But if you were watching the game, that feels so wrong. Like, I went back and double-checked on the team hits, and I was like, that can't possibly be right. And so that's just another example where sometimes the box score can lie to you. And we go.
I'd give Mason Marchment 12 hits on that one time the puck got stuck in the corner, and he just kept jamming the person in the back.
And they're like, maybe one. I'll think about it. But I wanted to throw this out there about Liam Bischel. If you haven't heard this, this is going to become your new favorite Mikko Rantanen quote. Okay?
All right.
So let's start with Bischel. Bischel, after he got sent to the box, obviously there was a whole scrum. It was a misconduct. Hey, see you later. Sat in the box. There was only, like, what, a minute left, and the game was over, and it was getting chippy all game. You could see that it was building to this. So Liam Bischel, he's in the box. He smiles at the crowd when he sees his face on the screen, and then he starts motioning for the crowd to cheer and get louder. And, like, I love that. And then you go to Mikko Rantanen talking about Liam Bischel. He's 7 feet tall or something with skates on and 300 pounds, so I'm happy to be on his side. With the way the guy hits, it's hard to go to the net when he's on the ice. It's a physical game in the playoffs, and I think he feeds off of that.
Man, that part about it's hard to go to the net when he's on the ice is true. Watch how many times, whether it's Kiviranta, I think that's the one that I keep seeing them collide the most. But watch how some people, whenever he's on the ice and he's on either the left or right side of the post, and they get close, and he levels them. And they don't even have the puck. He's just like, I'm clearing you out of this zone. I'm not letting you be part of this. I love hearing that from Mikko. That's great to know, too, like this, what he sees. That's another part of the addition of this, Kevin. This team last year, year before that, they were always very passive anyway. Like, that was a thing. But they didn't have a dude that was that size. Matt Duchesne's a nice size player. I mean, he's not an oversized player. He's actually a small player. Jamie Benn is a big player. Marchment was your biggest player for most of those series. And when you have now Rantanen and you have a Bischel and a Marchment on the ice, your size now is wearing opponents down by the third period. And you're really starting to get teams to a point where you just keep banging throughout the night, and by the end of the evening, they're just like, man, we didn't even realize we were exhausted by all the hits we were taking. And like I said, those numbers didn't show. But if you watch that game,
I agree.
And when he's talking about being competitive, they were competitive to the puck. And they were physical to the puck. Not necessarily to the opponent as much as we're going in there and getting the puck, and that's ours.
And that speaks to what DeBoer was saying about, hey, I don't want to give up what's essentially like a full ice goal. And what I think he means by that is you've seen a couple of goals that the Stars have given up on the other side of the ice. Like, I'm not saying that's where the shot took place, but that's where you saw either the turnover or the development of play or lack of physicality that you can, like, I can see it right there. They have a great opportunity to score a goal. And unfortunately, since Colorado has two of the best, what, four players in the world, maybe five, they frequently convert on those opportunities. And so I was really amped up about that level of physicality, but not just in Game 6, because, look, we'll talk about this tomorrow. Hopefully, Game 6 ends with the Stars victorious, and we start to plan ahead and say, man, that Winnipeg-St. Louis series is getting really chippy. I don't know if you watched any of that last night. Yeah. Those guys were getting pissed. It was awesome.
I expect tonight to be an extremely physical game, especially from Colorado's
Me
side.
Too. Me too. And so you'd love to be able to sit back and be like, hey, I'm really excited to watch Game 6 of Winnipeg-St. Louis, hopefully Game 7 of Winnipeg-St. Louis. I hope it goes quadruple overtime before they decide it and all of that. But you're going to have to keep that level of physicality up. If you win tonight, if you lose tonight and have to go to a Game 7, it doesn't end here. So I like the idea that they're not like, hey, yeah, we did it. We were physical that one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they're like, oh, yeah, we're aware of some of the shortcomings we've had in this series, and we've been trying to step it up.
That could be a calling card. I mean, for this team, like, they could have a completely different face by the end of this series going into the next one if they play it that way, Kevin, like you were just talking about. If they continue to play with this kind of physicality, then other teams aren't going to go, well, we can just push them around. And that can be something where, again, somebody just said, banging every night till exhaustion sounds like Tolo Go. But the
fact.
Just keep pounding. Just keep pounding on them, because by the end of the night, they're going to be tired. They don't want you to hit them anymore. And that's what the Stars can do. And then on the offensive side, Kevin, I was really impressed a lot with their ability to be physical offensively, not letting guys just push them around and not getting caught up entering the zone. That was something that the game before, it just looked like they couldn't get the puck into the zone. They were
struggling. The opportunity was over.
They were like, you know what, let's just dump it in. And they couldn't even do that well. And now it looked like they did such a better job keeping the puck on their stick. But then, you know, when Rantanen gets down by the post, there's a dude on him trying to push him out of the way. He's falling down. He's getting back up. He's leaning into him. He's just as physical as anybody on the ice. When you have a guy with that much talent and that much skill on a team with these guys who have that much talent and skill too, and they see him pushing people around too, that amps them up. And then the captain comes in and levels somebody, and it gets everybody juiced.
I know. I think you're right, especially with the way the Stars like to dump a puck deep into the zone. You're going to be able to need to fight through a plethora of things. I also appreciate how many people have advised that you might have just done your latest men's tea promo in the description of that. I'm really excited. I would love a men's tea commercial where they're like, take it from Cordy Majors, and they just don't even get a different audio from you. They just take exactly what you just rolled through.
You just keep banging throughout the night, and eventually it's like, man, I didn't even realize I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Man.
Then like the goalie, you squirt water all over your face, and you're good.
What are you doing?
That's what the goalie will do.
It's going to freeze on the ice. We talked about this with Mike.
And by the way, for the people that are asking, yes, the Stars are scheduled to play Saturday if they lose.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, I mean, hopefully it doesn't come to that and you just get the day off, because Winnipeg and St. Louis are still in the midst of their series. So you would not play Saturday if you advance to the next series.
And I know, Kevin, when it – the mentality of closing a game and closing a series is completely different. You have – like – go back and look at that Mavs team that they went into. Was it game five? Hold on. Here we go. What's about to happen? Are they doing clouds or something? Oh, they're doing tornadoes. Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if that translates in the background, if you can see us, but yeah, they're...
You know, the idea, the concept of wearing the black tie and everything, that was symbolic to those Mavericks team, right? And they were like, we're burying this. This is a funeral. We're putting them down now. You do have to have such a different mentality to close a series out, especially to close a series out early, because you know that that team is giving you – they're unloading everything they got. Now, that's a fortunate thing that DeBoer goes, okay, well, then I get to see everything you got. You know, that's all you got? Then we're going to use that against you in Game 7. That's a fortunate thing. You don't want to make it to Game 7, though. Although some people are like, I'd like to close this on home ice.
No,
I don't want to.
No,
I want to get done with and move to the next
round. No. What you want, I can't speak for what they want. What I want is I want the Stars to win tonight, and I want St. Louis to win tomorrow night. Thus, we can all kick back and relax and watch Game 7 of Winnipeg and St. Louis, and maybe you think Winnipeg is shaky in the playoffs and Hellebuck ain't got it in the postseason, and you want Winnipeg. Or maybe you decide you want St. Louis Blues and decide their end of the regular season run with smoke and mirrors, and you get home ice against them. I would love those options sitting back over the weekend, not having to worry about a Game 7. I'm fine closing this out in Colorado.
Yeah, no, I would love to see that happen tonight, because that would make tomorrow a lot better.
By the way, You know, we always got to give our Canadian Stanley Cup update. The Tampa Bay Lightning, they're out. But more importantly, on the eastern side, the Montreal Canadiens are out. So another Canadian team bites the dust as we inevitably march to another American team winning the Stanley Cup.
The Canadians, though, don't they like can look back and say, hey, look, we got like 20 of these, though. We're really good.
Oh, for sure.
In the past.
I think about that all the time. And you know what? It's not really that much of a stretch. As a Cowboys fan, I frequently have to lean on the past to try to stay in any argument about contemporary play.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Canadians can be like, hey, when there used to only be six teams in the league, we won 15 Stanley Cups. Now we got like 20. That's great. What's happened in the last 30 years? Does that sound like another franchise you know and love? Yeah, me too.
From the 214, I love you guys talking hockey. We love talking hockey too, especially when our team's on fire like this. And from the 325, I know it's not shout-out Friday, but shout-out to the KNC Masterpiece and the fan for getting me into hockey and the Stars. I haven't been this excited about it until this last year. Thank y'all. Go Stars.
That's the
thing, man. The timing is right for Stars fans and new Stars fans to be excited about what this thing's doing.
That's a good point. Somebody brought up, though, they did win the Four Nations, but that's not the Stanley Cup, because the Stanley Cup is an American
trophy. It's an American trophy at this point.
By the way, have you seen the wild discrepancy between the conferences? In the East, every series, except for one, I'm pretty sure wrapped up 4-1.
Yes.
And then in the West, every single one is at 3-2.
Yeah.
And it feels like a decent bet you get at least two game sevens out of that?
Let's go.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. How did MLB's team salary discrepancy get so out of control? Next on The Fan.
Into the glove he goes with 5 seconds on the pitch clock. And now the 1-1. And that hit deep to left field. Langford going back, turning to look, and that one is gone. A line drive home run for Brent Rooker. That's his eighth of the year. He has given the A's a 3-1 lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I did want to talk about the economics of baseball. We might have to wait because there's a lot of other stuff going on, including those power rankings. We're live at Globe Life Field right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It is time for Baseball Nuggets.
I think that is Corey Seager out there, Kevin.
Yes.
He's taking some swings. Now that I look at his stance and his swing.
Because we were very excited for half a second. It's like, oh, dip, did Evan Carter come out here? Is it ready to go?
Yeah, but looks like some live BP out there against a left-handed pitcher. And that's why we were kind of considering that for a second.
Yes, absolutely.
And whoever that left-handed pitcher is, he's throwing some gas out there.
Now, normally I give you the opportunity, Alec, to choose the worst team in all of the baseball lands. But instead, today I'm just going to tell you who it is, because it is, of course, the Colorado Rockies. The Colorado Rockies are 5-25. It's the worst record in the majors and the most losses ever by the end of April.
Really? That is a bad baseball team.
Keep this in mind. The Chicago White Sox went 41-121. I believe Colorado Rockies are on pace to go 27-135.
Kevin, it doesn't make sense to me. Dang. Only one other team has scored less runs than the Rangers and the Rockies. Like, the Rockies are at 96.
I thought you were going to say the only team was the Rockies.
The Royals are at 97 runs. And every other team aside from the Rockies is over 100. The Rangers are at 103. And that is very handily in third to last place. But that being said, you have 11 home wins, 5 road wins. That's bad.
Yeah, but you just lost two of those against the A's.
103 runs is all you've scored.
All right.
You got to get that going.
Keep that in mind as we go through the power rankings.
Okay.
Remember exactly what you just said and don't get mad about the power rankings. All right. Who is the number one team in all of baseball?
I'm probably going to go, man, is it the Mets?
Is that your final answer?
I'm going to go with the Mets.
That is correct.
They have a plus 54 run differential.
The New York Mets, despite the potentially diminished bat speed of Juan Soto, are the number one team in all of the land. They surpassed the previous number one team, the LA Dodgers, who are now second Where do you go from there? So you got Mets and Dodgers, big shock, NL teams at the beginning, at the top of the power rankings.
Oh, man, I feel like I want to go Cubs next, but I feel like the Yankees are getting a lot of love. So I'll go with the Yankees.
That is correct, the New York Yankees. And I'm pretty sure since, like, week one of the season, this is the highest an AL team has been.
Oh, really?
Because remember, usually we do this, Alec, and it's like NL, 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 and then maybe you get an AL team. Mets 1, Dodgers 2, New York Yankees 3. You'd mentioned the Cubs. Now,
yeah, they have the most runs scored right now.
The Cubs are either 4 or 5. Would you like to call on Alec to help you?
Alec?
Ooh. So, I'm going to go. I think the Padres have to be up there. I'm intrigued by the Cubs, too. Give me Padres.
Smart decision to go to Alec. The Padres are 4, and the Chicago Cubs are, in fact, 5.
Okay. I mean, again, their run differential's plus 47 for the Cubs right now. I think the Padres being in the division they're in with the Dodgers and with the Giants, obviously they kind of prop them up a little bit more. But the Cubs, again, scored the most runs in baseball right now, and they're leading the Central Division.
And for the person asking, is Kevin saying the A's aren't a good team this year? They're fine. And it disappoints me that despite your all-time starting pitching for this franchise, you're right where they are, too.
You're tied with
you're
them.
You're fine.
Yeah.
All right, so with that in mind, where would you put the Rangers in the power ranking?
Well, you know, usually I throw the Cowboys in the middle of the pack on things.
Not a bad guess.
I'm going to throw the Rangers at this record. Just the, is it punitive? Is that the word I'm looking for here? It's just very low run scoring.
Paltry?
Paltry. Yeah, that's the word. Thanks,
chicken.
Man.
Shut
what
up.
What did he say?
He said chicken.
Poultry? I'm going to say that they're like 18-20.
Okay. Alec? Where would you put the rankings for the Texas Rangers? Or where would you put the Texas Rangers in the rankings, I guess, makes more sense.
I kind of like Corey's thinking of right in the middle, kind of like our football team around here. I'll go 15. Give me 15.
Okay. Really thought he was about to say 16. The A's are 20th.
Okay.
They're up from 24. The Texas Rangers have tumbled from 10 to 15.
Okay, they're giving them a lot of credit still for their pitching. The Rangers'
sure.
pitching has been phenomenal so far.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, they're anticipating at some point these bats are going to come back to life. Now, Kevin, I did see also that maybe, and I haven't gone back and double-checked this, but I did see that I think that the only three of the games the Rangers have played have been against teams that are
under 500.
And so they've had a tough schedule so far to start this season. Maybe that's another part of it.
Now, let's go to Aaron Judge. Is Aaron Judge in the midst of potentially putting together the most impressive offensive season that, I don't know, maybe we have ever seen? Right now, Aaron Judge has, man, he's ridiculous, 10 home runs, 32 RBIs. This is the first time he's surpassed 20
wow.
RBIs since his rookie season. He is on pace, and look, this can't stand, but he is on pace to finish the season with a .427 batting average, an OPS of 1.282, with 52 home runs and 167 RBIs.
Sheesh,
and a WAR of, I don't know, probably 20 at this pace. I would need to go look that up. It is freaking ridiculous how good he's been to start this year.
I'm kind of curious on how long he can continue to rock that way, though. I mean, he has a really decent lineup around him. Like
yeah.
every 3 weeks, they just decide to hit 100 home runs.
Doesn't seem like he's struggling without Soto, does it?
Yeah, and he probably is carrying a little more for that, too, and saying, hey, look, at it. This is my responsibility. I'm the dude. But, man, I just did not give him enough credit, Kevin, for maybe it was injuries was part of the reason for being as good of a hitter as he is.
Yeah.
But when I heard Juan Soto say he's the best hitter, when I think Juan Soto's the best hitter, and now I'm watching what Aaron Judge is doing, He is a special, special dude. Can he keep up this kind of pace? I don't think so.
There's
it's
no,
tough.
There's no way, because you know what he's on pace for? WAR 14.5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have to go look it up. I don't particularly recall WARs above like 11. Maybe there is. I just don't remember. And right now his on-base percentage is 5.21. So when Aaron Judge steps up to the plate, it's more likely that he will get on base than not get on base.
The single season
WAR what is it?
Record is 14.1 Babe Ruth in 1923.
All right, so right now Aaron Judge is on pace to surpass that.
The highest, like in the, I'm going to say since the merger, is 2001 Barry Bonds.
That makes sense. What was he at?
That was 11.9.
Okay.
So that's a big day right there.
If you get 11.9, that's preposterous, and obviously he'll win MVP again, and I just wanted to shout out what a ridiculous pace
but again,
that he has started this
I say
with.
He can't do that all season, but even if he drops down a little bit, he's still having the best season.
Yeah, okay. Let's put it this way. Your OPS is going to drop 300 points. All right, his OPS for the season would be 982. Your batting average is going to drop 70 points. All right, your batting average for the season would be 351. Your on-base percentage is going to drop 100 points. All right, your on-base percentage is 421.
It's MVP-type season. Yeah. You know, in 24, he had a 10.8. 22, he had a 10.8. That ranks at 20th, by the
way. Is he already a Hall of Famer?
Ooh, I mean, let's go. You can look at the names here. Ruth, Yastrzemski, Hornsby, Gehrig, Bonds. Well, that's an interesting guy.
Well, that is complicated.
Ripken,
yes.
Honus Wagner, Ty Cobb, Mickey Mantle, Stan Musial, Willie Mays, Joe Morgan, and, yeah, Hornsby again. So
every single one of those people is a Hall of Famer except for Bonds?
Yeah, and I mean, Bonds deserves it, obviously.
No,
but still,
I know.
But yeah,
it's all more those complicated.
Guys. And then there's Aaron Judge doing what he's doing. That is definitely, he's made his way into that conversation already.
By the way, keep an eye on Mike Trout today. He left the Angels game yesterday with a knee injury. Ron Washington said it was extremely precautionary. Mike Trout said he thinks he's fine and he's going to play tonight, but we'll see. Kind of like Corey Seager, you're like, hold your breath for just a second whenever you see something like that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, live from Globe Life Field. Coming up next, you might notice we didn't talk about this at all in Baseball Nuggets. Coming up next, the perils of the stadium. Are you surprised people don't fall more often? Because I have to admit, I really am. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.